Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 1st. I'm Abby Larico. Health departments around Missouri rely on data to help keep track of issues, including disease outbreaks.
We're able to do a little bit of heat mapping, figure out maybe where those cases are popping up, and target our interventions to those areas.
But a new report shows Missouri is not doing a good enough job in sharing that data. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. The paid sick leave provisions of Proposition A go into effect in Missouri today. Employees will now accumulate 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. Some public employers are exempted, and so are private businesses with less than $500,000 in annual sales. Workers can also use paid sick leave to care for a family member who is sick or injured, or to go get legal or medical help related to domestic violence or sexual assault. Proposition A was passed in November with 57% of the vote. The Missouri Supreme Court upheld the election results on Tuesday in response to a lawsuit brought by business associations. But the state legislature has been working to overturn the sick leave requirements. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports on the status of that effort.
A bill that would strip the sick leave provisions out of the statute passed the House, but a series of Democratic filibusters stalled it in the Senate. With 2 weeks remaining in the legislative session, the legislature could still pass a bill to change or repeal the sick leave provisions. If it does, any changes will not go into effect as law until August, unless both chambers approve an emergency clause, which would let the law go into effect earlier. In that event, it's not clear what will happen to workers' accumulated sick leave hours. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Another Missouri group is challenging the state's abortion laws. The nonprofit Right By You claims the law banning minors from getting an abortion without parental consent is unconstitutional. Missouri requires those under the age of 18 to get permission from one parent and notify another before they get an abortion. The suit claims this violates Missouri's newly passed Amendment 3, which guarantees the right to an abortion. The lawsuit, filed in Kansas City Circuit Court, names the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, and the Jackson County Prosecuting Attorney, Melissa Johnson, as defendants. In a statement, Bailey slammed Amendment 3, saying it allows extremists to, quote, put the lives of children on the line, destroy families, and erase parental rights. Meantime, Missouri lawmakers are coming close to putting a constitutional amendment to reinstate an abortion ban on the ballot. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
Republicans on a Senate committee voted to advance a resolution on the ban to the full Senate. If the Senate passes the proposed amendment without changing it, it would then go before voters. Under the resolution, abortion would not be permitted except in instances of rape, incest, or medical emergencies. And in cases of rape or incest, abortion access would be limited to before the 12-week mark. Democratic Senator Maggie Nirenberg criticized the 12-week deadline.
Representative, you are forcing that survivor to come forward very early. And again, I just said that it's one of the most underreported crimes that they're ever able to come forward. And now we're saying, hey, you have to do all of this trauma again by 12 weeks.
The advancement of the resolution comes almost 6 months after Missouri voters approved an amendment to end Missouri's near total abortion ban. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Another St. Louis department head is leaving their post. Streets Director Bethany Williams offered her resignation to Mayor Kara Spencer. Her last day was yesterday. Former Streets Director Jim Sulman has taken the job on an interim basis. Williams is one of several directors to leave city employment since Spencer was elected. She worked for the Missouri Department of Transportation before joining the administration of former Mayor Tashara Jones. But the city often failed to pick up trash and fill potholes, and its response to a January winter storm was roundly criticized. Ameren, Missouri's electric rates are about to go up by around 12%, or about $14 a month. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke has details on how the increase will affect utility bills.
Missouri's Public Service Commission gave Ameren approval to raise electric rates. The new pricing will start on June 1st and show up on bills after that. Paige Selby is manager of customer advocacy for Ameren.
I understand there's no good time to adjust rates, but we do have energy assistance available for customers that find themselves needing assistance.
Selby says to reach out to Ameren directly for help or go to amerenmissouri.com/energyassistance. Last year, Ameren customers received more than $36 million in energy assistance from federal and local sources. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The AmeriCorps offices in Belleville and East St. Louis were told this week to halt operations. The independent government agency that provides community service and volunteers is the latest target of the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency. DOGE recently ordered AmeriCorps to terminate $400 million in grant funding across the board. The cuts amount to a little more than 40% of the agency's total grant funding. The Belleville News-Democrat reports the AmeriCorps in Belleville will stop sending 5 college students to the local elementary school district. In East St. Louis, 40 full and part-time workers will no longer be paid. There, the workers helped with food and after-school programs. The East St. Louis director told the newspaper they'll try to keep their food pantry open, but the hours may need to change. As the Trump administration continues to downsize federal agencies, some websites with important data are disappearing. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports how a team at Washington University in St. Louis is working to preserve what they say is critical information.
In a computer lab on WashU's Danforth campus, librarians, students, and staffers are leading a data rescue. The data is on federal agency websites like the Department of Transportation and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which are facing budget cuts. The group finds data sets, saves, and transfers the information to a publicly accessible platform. Aviana Wooten, the lead coordinator for the data rescue project at WashU, says preserving federal data is critical.
I always bring up the census because the census is a way that municipalities organize resources. So if any of that data becomes unavailable, we're not able to make data-informed decisions.
WashU will continue to hold data rescue sessions virtually throughout the summer. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Public health agencies use data to monitor populations and deliver services. A recently released report from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services analyzed how effective the state's public health system is when it comes to data, and it found improvements to be made. Anna Spital reports.
At the Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Services building, visitors are greeted by health information and resources as soon as they walk through the door. At a desk near the entrance, free condoms are available in grab-and-go unlabeled brown paper bags. Signs by the check-in desk advertise free rapid HIV testing services, and pamphlets with information of all sorts are displayed throughout the lobby. Jordan Bales is a public health planner and epidemiologist at the Columbia Boone County Health Department. She says local health departments largely decide which information to present and which resources to provide based on the needs of the community. And for that, Bales says they need data.
We do receive, you know, notifications of reportable diseases, and so we're able to keep track of where those conditions are popping up. So, for example, like STIs, we're able to do a little bit of heat mapping, figure out maybe where those cases are popping up, and target our interventions to those areas.
At the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, which oversees the state's entire public health system, one person decided he wanted to know more about Missouri's public health data infrastructure.
We knew we needed to be better with our understanding of the current state of public health data in Missouri, and this project was an effort to develop that picture.
That's Josh Weimer. He's DHSS's Chief Health Information and Data Strategy Officer. Earlier this year, Weimer and his team analyzed the health of the state's public health data infrastructure. The report collected information using a survey-based tool developed by the Health Information and Management Systems Society, or HIMSS. Ann Snowden is the HIMSS chief scientific researcher who led development of the Digital Health Indicator tool. She says Missouri was the first state or province across the world to use the tool to measure its entire public health system.
So what we did with the Missouri project is we worked with every one of the public health teams and measured where are your digital strengths, where are the gaps? Because once you know that, now you can make very evidence-informed decisions to fill those gaps.
Weimer and the team also went directly to public health agencies across the state to ask about their needs in a series of town hall meetings. He says there was a consistent message in the feedback.
Often those sets of data do not engage or exchange or aren't interoperable with each other and ultimately end up being standalone.
Weimer says this can result in data silos, where information is stored separately and isn't well shared. In addition to data silos, the report showed a need for better workforce training around technology, as well as more funding for technological advancements. The resulting report has suggestions for addressing gaps and making improvements in the state's data infrastructure, including more staff training, regular communication between agencies, and the creation of a so-called data lake. Weimer says many agencies could dip into the data lake, enabling better sharing between agencies. Weimer says this can come with challenges and concerns, mainly privacy and data security, which he says is the department's main focus when it comes to developing more centralized resources. At the Columbia Boone County Health Department, Jordan Bales says data security has long been a primary concern.
First and foremost, we are bound by HIPAA.
With an uncertain funding landscape due to federal budget cuts, it's unclear just how deep the data lake can be. But Weimer and public health teams across the state say the report has them convinced that taking a deep dive is a good step. I'm Anna Speidel.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.